Es kann so sein, dass ich nicht mehr richtig zu sagen, wenn man Yehuda sagt, dass Yuma darf auf Tess. Reb Zeira asked, why does the Pasuk compare Esther to an Ayala, a female there? Efet Gemara, just like an Ayala has a small womb and is therefore desirable to her mate every time, just like the first time, so to Esther was desirable to Achashverosh every time, just like the first time he was with her. Efet Gemara Vasi asked, why is Esther compared to the morning, to the Boiker, like we see in a Pasuk? Gemara says, just like morning is the end of the night, so to Esther was the last of all the great Nisim. Efet Gemara, the Nisim of Hanukkah happened after Esther. So Gemara said, yeah, but Esther was the last of the Nisim to be written in Ksuvim. Efet Gemara, to the Shita who says that Megillas Esther is not part of Ksuvim, why is Esther compared to mourning? Where it says it teaches what Rabbi Benyamin by Yefes and then Rabbi Lazar said, that the Tfilois, which means the Shachar of Tzadikim, are like an Ayala. In what way? The more the Ayala grows, the more her antlers branch off. So too, the more the Tzadikim daven, the more the Tfilos are heard. The Mishnah says, Shachar Tuas HaTamid. Frek Gemara, what's the first part of the Mishnah talking about? If it's talking about any day of the year, why does the Mishnah specify that Kohen Gadol has to go to the mikveh to bring the Tamid? Any Kohen can bring the Tamid. And if the Mishnah is only talking about Yom Kippur, given the time of the month, it's not likely that the moonlight could be mistaken for sunlight at dawn, because of just the position of the moon at that point of the month. So how are we to understand the Mishnah? The Gemara says, the beginning of the Mishnah is referring to any day of the year, but the Mishnah then begins to focus on Yom Kippur when it begins discussing the Kohen Gadol going to the mikveh. And when they got confused, talking about getting confused was not Yom Kippur, but after that we start talking about Yom Kippur. Dr. Rabbi Ovin's father taught the malika of a bird carbon and the taking of a koimitz from a mincha are also possible if done at night and must be burned. In fact, Gemara, it makes sense that the bird would have to be burned because the malika can't be reversed once it's done. However, why can't the kaimitz just simply be returned to the mincha and then separated again after sunrise? Why does it have to be burned? Gemara says, when the kaimitz is placed into a klisharis, it becomes kodesh. A klisharis makes something in it kodesh, even if it was placed there at an improper time. And therefore, it can no longer be returned to the rest of the mincha. Therefore, it has to be burned. In fact, Gemara, a braisa says that something which must be offered by day can only become kodesh by day. If so, how did the kaimitz become kodesh at night? Gemara said, it only becomes fully kodesh by day. However, even at night, it becomes enough kodesh to become possible. Rav Zeira asked, a Mishnah says that if lechem aponim is placed on the shulchan at the wrong time, it does not become automatically possible. According to what we just answered, it should become kodesh and possible since the shulchan is a klisharis. Rava said, this would seemingly refute what Rav Avin's father said, but Rav Avin's father had a braisa to support his view as well, and therefore, he can't be refuted just because the Mishnah says differently. The braisa must hold that a klisharis only makes something kodesh so that it becomes possible when it's placed in the klisharis the night before its proper time, not any earlier than that. And the case of the lechem aponim was where it was placed there, was where it was placed on Sunday when it should have been placed there on Shabbos. So that's why it's not there the night before it's supposed to go there, so it doesn't even make it possible. Fact, fine, but the night when we do hit the night before it's supposed to go there on Friday night, it should become possible because that's the night before the proper time. Ravina said, it must be talking about where the bread, the lechem aponim, was removed before Friday night arrived and replaced there Shabbos morning. Mazucha said an answer that even if it remains there Friday night, it doesn't become possible because since it was placed there far in advance, it has the status as if it was put there without any intention at all, like a maisa koif be'alma, in which case it does not become kodesh until it actually hits the proper time. The Mishnah said, Zeh klal hoye b'mikdash. It makes sense why the Kohen must wash his feet after urinating, because he may have some dripping from the urine onto his feet. But why does he have to wash his hands after urinating? Rabbi Abba said, we see from here that it's a requirement for someone to wipe himself after going to the bathroom for Ketanim, so that people shouldn't think he's a Kruv Shavcha who can't have children. Because if people think that he's a Kruv Shavcha, and when he's really not, and he really does have children, it will make it seem that his children are not really his children, and they'll think they're Mamzerim. So because it's a Chiev to wipe off any urine that's there, this wiping of the hands will make his hand, the wiping with his hands will make his hands dirty as well, and that's why he has to wash his Kiddush Yadayim, very glad he has to wash his hands as well as his feet.